It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The Steel City has landed on another list. This time, Allstate Insurance Company, in its ranking of the nation's 200 largest cities for driver safety, ranks Pittsburgh near the bottom. So does anyone benefit from this ranking? We're posing that question to contributor Rebecca Harris, director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University, who this week looks at the business of bad driving. Rebecca Harris, welcome back. How are you? You're on the phone this week. Hello, Rebecca.
Hello, Paul. Hello.
How are you? Yes, I'm
Okay, great. You know, I think I'm going to be speaking to you by phone because I don't want to get on the road after reading these reports, Paul.
Good one. Well played. So really, there's a business benefit to bad driving?
Well, there really is. And let's talk a little bit about the study and really what this shows. I mean, certainly we know that the business side of it is the companies that benefit from the number of collisions. But the report itself, which was issued last Tuesday, August 26, talked about how Pittsburgh ranked dead last among America's smaller cities in terms of car crash frequency. They define a smaller city, Paul, to be one with a population of 250 to 500,000 people. So we came in even behind Miami and Oakland, California.
So to clarify these numbers, dead last meaning
not dead people last, but dead last in terms of we really had the highest number of accidents. And what it meant was that according to the report, the average driver in Pittsburgh will experience a crash every 6.6 years. And drivers in Pittsburgh are 51.3% more likely to crash than the average American, which means we really are at a much increased risk for car crashes in this city, which is not so great.
Well, no, it isn't. And I don't want to stray too much away from the study or the numbers or the implications and results of those numbers. But does that surprise you at all? I mean, this is the town where the Pittsburgh left. People are patient, supposedly. Drivers and people in Pittsburgh are allegedly more polite. So,
here's what's interesting about this study, Paul, is that the company that did the study, which is Allstate Insurance Company, and it's their 10th annual report, they use collision data, but they don't also factor in things like weather, road terrain, the quality of the roads, a lot of other things, bridges and tunnels.
Deteriorating infrastructure.
Right, other factors. And so I think that's really something important to take into consideration. Certainly when I came here 6 years ago, I was like, I have a great sense of direction. I don't need a GPS. Well, one day when I was trying to get to Carnegie and I ended up on Carson Street, like I was like, I have to have a GPS. And the other thing is, Paul, you don't have to be driving to be in a collision. My car was hit twice in parking lots here, and I had a new car that was smashed in front of my house in the city. So this is a city with turns and crevices and nooks and crannies, and I think that's part of what has really been going on in this report. But that was not taken into account, the terrain.
So again, how were these figures arrived at?
So what they really did was just look at the absolute pure number in terms of the statistics without analyzing other factors. So they, they counted up the number of collisions and made an assessment. So there was no correlation with any. So versus Kansas, which is totally flat. You see what I'm saying? They're not correlating to anything else.
Sure. Okay. So they're not taking that into consideration.
No.
So let me ask you this. Has the increased use of cell phones and texting while driving increased the accident rate?
Well, this is where it's not so good. You are three times more likely to crash if you are texting while you're driving. And studies have shown that engaging in visual manual subtasks, which are things like reaching for a phone and dialing and texting associated with the use of handheld devices, basically makes you three times more likely to crash. And
that's now illegal in Pennsylvania, correct?
Yes. I mean, you're supposed to have only use ear devices now. You can't actually text. You can't be dialing. You're supposed to have a headphone. But these reports found that drivers spend more than half their time focused on other things besides driving. And there's so many distractions in a car. There's in-car technologies. There are passengers. People are eating. They're doing makeup. I mean, it's really remarkable what is happening besides just driving. So when you look at the numbers, Paul, sending or receiving a text takes a driver's eyes off the road for an average of 4.6 seconds, and that's the equivalent of driving the length of an entire football field blind at 55 miles an hour. Isn't that amazing? Think about that.
That's scary,
yeah,
is what it is.
Yeah, that's pretty scary, and it should be scary. So if you're driving now and doing something else and listening to us, would you cut that out, please? I mean, really, it's a deadly behavior. I mean, distracted driving contributes to 16% of all fatal crashes, and so it's very important to really think about the ramifications for that.
Has the incidence of younger drivers getting into accidents increased?
The teens are really the riskiest on the road, crashing four times more likely than adult drivers do, and 11% of all drivers under the age of 20 are involved in fatal crashes that were reported being distracted at the time of the crash. And so we see that as being a major, you know, cause in some of these crashes. And, you know, teens have this invincibility mindset, so safety isn't necessarily – they're not thinking about it all the time the way we might be. We also found that teenage drivers aren't wearing their seatbelts the way that other drivers are. The statistics are not good on that either. And that young drivers are getting the message that distracted driving can be deadly. So we're hoping that that really can set in, but it's tough. It really is.
And are there recommended prevention measures to decrease the accident rate? What are the things
you know, one of the most simple things is, like, pay attention to driving. I know it's really boring, and I think that that's something we're like, really, that's all I can do is just drive? But that really is true. There's recommendations about checking local traffic reports. If you're really stressed out and trying to rush to something, you're not going to be a safe driver. The federal government has a website called distraction.gov, which is a new website which is dedicated to reducing distracted driving crashes and offers some advice and education. So everything from, you know, buckling up and ways to avoid being distracted, those are really important, Paul. And I think that we see that more and more people are caught daydreaming. Young drivers are more likely to admit to speeding while on highways, and so we know that that happens. Many drivers, especially young ones, send texts and emails while they're driving. Sending an email while you're on a highway is really, I mean, that's really remarkable that people can do that. So I think that we've just become accustomed to kind of doing it all at the same time, but you can't really do that while you're driving.
We're talking with Rebecca Harris. She is director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University and our business correspondent, looking at bad driving. And there is a business built around this. And let's talk about the auto body shops, the insurance companies.
Yeah.
Do people make, I guess, you don't want people to necessarily benefit from something that can devastate another person's life. But at the same time, in this capitalist society, there are people that are going to take advantage of the opportunity to make money. And can they do so on this high rate of accidents?
Well, and here's what we found from some of the original research that we did. If you just look at the Yellow Page listings, there's over 1,200 listings for auto repair service here just in the Pittsburgh region, over 500 listings for insurance companies. And again, you can buy insurance around the country. It doesn't have to be local. And so there's no question that auto body shops and car insurance companies are gaining a lot on operating in one of the cities with the worst drivers in the nation. And the average in 2012, the average auto liability claim for property damage was about $3,000. So there is money in this whole industry, but here's the two keys on both sides. If you're going to open a repair shop, you have a lot of competition in this industry, but there will be a lot of business. So we would recommend that you really find a place where you can have a niche or a place that isn't being serviced. And as a consumer, if you're in an accident and hopefully, you know, your everything is fine, you have to make sure that you really do your shopping when you're looking at getting your car fixed. You have to understand your estimate. You have to be sure that the shops are have integrity. There's a lot of great shops out there. There's some that are fly-by-night shops and people that will repair stuff. You know, they'll get tools out of their trunks. So you want a solid reputation of a good shop. You want an estimate of what the
You want to make sure that you're not getting taken advantage of it.
You betcha, Paul.
Rebecca Harris is the director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University. Rebecca, we're out of time, but great thanks to you as always.
Oh, it's nice to talk to you, Paul. Thank you. Be careful driving out there.
Will do. And thank you for listening. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.